Hello, everyone. I'm Cecilia Jimena.
And I'm Godi.
And we are research fellows at Cincinnati Children's Hospital. And along with Stay Current, we are sharing knowledge to improve child health around the globe. So welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the SHAPES podcast. Today, we have the September issue, and for that, we have Dr. Whit Holcomb, the editor-in-chief of the Journal of Pediatric Surgery and the one who helped us choose the articles for today.
I'm Whit Holcomb.
So for today, we have four articles.
First, we are going to talk about ectus arquatum and how to differentiate it from pectus carinatum. Then we are going to talk about the repair of CD8 of patients that are on ECMO and when it is better to repair. Third, we are going to talk about ERIS protocols for colorectal surgery. And last, we have a letter to the editor about physician suicide and how important it is to care about mental health in doctors.
As always, we attach the papers in the description below, so click the links and read with us.
Okay, so the first paper for today is Pectus Arquatum, a pectus unlike any other. And this is a retrospective study done in France, and their aim was to better describe the pectus arquatum. And we talked to the first author of this paper.
Hi, so I'm Sarah Abdelawi. I'm a resident at Lyon Children's Hospital in France.
So they review all the charts from the patients with pectus arquatum. They had 34 patients with a mean age of 10 years. The main diagnosis for them was done clinically, but 16 patients, meaning 47%, require an X-ray or CT scan.
Pectus arquatum is a bony deformity caused by a premature obliteration of the sternal sutures. So you have a patient with a thoracic deformation, which is a short sternum bent on itself.
And I think that the picture, and I believe it's figure 3, is really good, the picture on the right. And you can see it's how it's contrasted with a typical pectus carinatum patient.
And again, he was Dr. Holcomb, the editor-in-chief who helped us choose these articles. What they found important is that 35% of the cases had a malformation associated, like Noonan syndrome, scoliosis, or cardiopathy.
And we also found that 25% of our patients had a colorectal malformation in their family. So,
and for the treatment of this, if they want to do some treatment, the brace doesn't work and it has to be with a surgery that includes an esternotomy. So
if you have diagnosed a pectus arquatum, you have to think about associated malformation. So you need to look for a cardiac malformation with an ultrasound, and you need to see if the patient has a scoliosis.
And here's what Dr. Holcomb had to say.
It's not very commonly seen, but you need to recognize the patient that has this particular problem.
Should we move to the second paper?
Yeah.
The second paper is The Timing of Congenital Diaphragmatic Hernia Repair on Extracorporeal Membrane Oxygenation Impacts Surgical Bleeding Risk. This is a paper coming from Boston's, and we talked to the first author, Dr. Jason Smithers.
I'm Jason Smithers. I'm a surgeon down at All Children's Hospital with Johns Hopkins in Florida. I spent the first almost 20 years at Boston Children's, and it was with the group in Boston that we wrote this paper.
So in this paper, they wanted to see what is the optimal timing for surgical repair in these patients. They did a retrospective review of 146 infants who underwent CDH repair while on ECMO support from 1995 to 2021. And they separated the patients in two groups, early repair and delayed repair.
Their definition of early repair was during the first 48 hours after ECMO cannulation, and then delayed repair was anything after that time.
And that was Dr. Holcomb. He's the editor-in-chief in Journal of Pediatric Surgery and the editor of the month to help us pick these articles to highlight.
For reasons that might not be totally clear, the earlier you do it, the less the bleeding risk was. I think it was in the ballpark of 1% if you operate in less than 24 hours. At 48 hours, it was 5 or 6%. And then after, it jumped up to maybe 15%.
And that was Dr. Smithers. He's the first author of this paper. And we can say that duration of ECMO support was shorter in the early repair group, but survival was not statistically different between the two groups.
I think it is important to be switching into early repair, especially when they are on ECMO, because knowing that we can repair them at the beginning of the ECMO run that will decrease the surgical bleeding, I think it's beneficial, because usually before we only repair them after ECMO.
Yeah. And also, like they stated in their paper, there are some limitations for the study. First of all, it's retrospective and it's a single center patient population. And they mentioned that their center historically preferred early CDH repair for patients on ECMO. So the patients who had delayed repair in this paper may have clinical differences from early repair patients. So that might be the reason they got delayed repair.
And I believe, as I mentioned earlier, that the pendulum has shifted in some people's minds towards an early repair, but I'm sure there's still a lot of pediatric surgeons who perform a delayed repair, and some even perform repair after the patient gets on ECMO, and that is they won't repair the patient while on ECMO, and if the patient gets off ECMO, then they'll do the repair.
If you only repair off ECMO, there's a certain amount who died because they never came off ECMO. So I think one of the keys is to get the lung growth after you do the repair, and do it in such a way that the contralateral lung grows the most and not the ipsilateral lung.
Okay, so time for the third paper. Meta-analysis of enhanced recovery after surgery, or ERAS, protocols for the perioperative management of pediatric colorectal surgery. And this paper comes from China, and they wanted to investigate the effects and safety of the ERAS protocols for pediatric colorectal surgery.
These authors looked at several databases, PubMed, Embase, Cochrane Library, and so they found 10 studies involving 1,300 patients.
And comparing them, they found that ERAS protocols significantly reduce the intraoperative fluids needed by the patients and the postoperative opioid use. Also, what they found is that the first oral intake and the time for complete nutrition was less in those patients that were having ERAS protocol versus those who weren't.
Major finding was that there was a beneficial role for using these ERAS protocols in terms of accelerating rehabilitation, shortening the length of hospitalization. And this is just another paper affirming the benefits of ERAS protocols.
Yeah. And clearly it's something that we see often, that having protocols improve patients' outcomes, whether it is an ERAS protocols or other type of protocols. The fact that everyone knows what to expect and how to proceed makes things better for the patients. In this last article, we discuss physician suicide secondary to physician stress, which has unfortunately become more common these days. At Global Custom, we are dedicated to disseminate comprehensive knowledge, and we recognize the urgency of addressing this issue by engaging in meaningful discussions to explore potential solutions.
Well, the last one is a letter to editor about physician suicide, a personal story and call to action by Dr. Angie Yellen. She's an OBGYN at Johns Hopkins, and she is talking about her husband, which we lost to suicide 2 years ago, and she is calling all of us to action. Physician suicide is a critical and deeply concerning issue within the medical community, which characterized by the tragically high rate of suicide among doctors compared to the general population.
So I think this is a very important topic, because every surgeon is going to have adversity in his or her practice. We're all going to have patients, and do everything to the best of your abilities, and yet there's not a good result. And I think it's important that we all know that there are support systems available to help those difficult situations.
And fortunately, we've been talking about these matters lately more and more. We know that various factors contribute to this alarming situation, including the high levels of stress, emotional and physical burnout, demanding work schedules, and the pressure to maintain a successful career. And there is a stigma which is associated with mental health issues within the medical profession, often discourages physicians from seeking help, which leads to untreated depression, anxiety, and other mental health disorders.
I just think that the letter is a good reminder that there are support systems available for all of us when we have adversity and conflicts that we just don't know how to get through. And
we see people who are the kindest to their patients cannot show the same kindness to themselves. And unfortunately, we lose them to these battles. And I wish we would speak more, make them feel comfortable and understood, and let them know that everyone's struggling in their own way. That doesn't mean that they're not brave enough. That doesn't mean they're not strong enough.
This topic's not discussed openly nearly as much as it should be. It's discussed more and more now versus 10 years ago, but it still should be discussed more openly.
The important thing to put in words here is let's make mental health an issue to talk about and to be a thing that everyone can come forward, so that we try to avoid people feeling ashamed or not in the need to seek for help. Okay, so that was everything for today. We have really interesting papers. The first one was about pectus arcuatum and how can we diagnose it, especially clinically, looking at a short bended sternum and how the treatment is based on sternotomy. Then we talk about the best time to operate a CDH patient who is on ECMO, knowing that it is better to operate them early on ECMO than late because of the surgical bleeding that is less. After that, we talk about the ERAS protocols for colorectal surgery and how this improved patients' outcomes, reducing the hospital length and their complications and opioid use. And last, we talk about the importance about mental health to make every pediatric surgeon and physician actually aware of this so we can help everyone who is in need out there.
Thank you for listening to this episode. Please check the link in the description below to read each paper. And please follow StayCurrentMD on social media, give us a rating, and subscribe to YouTube channel. And don't forget to download the StayCurrent app on the App Store or Play Store for tons of content.
I'm Cecilia Hijena.
And I'm M. Godi.
And we are research fellows at Cincinnati Children's Hospital. And along with StayCurrent, we are sharing knowledge to improve child health around the globe.